Morning and greeting in Jesus' name. Mic turned on, this light was green. Is that okay? Glad again to be in the house of God with the brothers and sisters. Again, also want to say welcome home, Marcus. Good to see you here again. And also Bruce and Vera. I thought maybe you got lost out there in the desert somewhere and couldn't find your way back. Been a long time. Glad to have you here again. And this morning I'm impressed with the blessing and the mercy and the grace of God, the privilege that we have as a child of God, as children of God, to, for the benefits that are ours in Christ. The title of my message this morning, you know, we're in the season where many people are involved with buying and giving and receiving gifts. I'm not at all promoting that. I'm not saying it's wrong either, but we've never done a lot of that in our family. It's been something we've sort of stayed away from, the commercialism of Christmas more so. But my title of my message this morning is The Greatest Gift Giver. The greatest gift giver, and that greatest gift giver, I believe, is God. In James chapter 1, in verse 16 through 18, it says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." It says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Yeah, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father, our Father in heaven. And we benefit from many of those gifts in so many ways. And we want to talk about some of those things today. Let's first pause for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we pause before you this morning in thanksgiving and gratitude and praise and adoration to you for your wonderful gift to man. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the gift of life, the gift of hope, the gift of opportunity, the many gifts of providing for us, meeting our needs, and blessing us in many ways as we go through our life. We thank you this morning that you are the great gift giver, and we want to receive with thanksgiving from you those benefits for your glory and for your praise, that we might not consume them upon our lusts, but that we might live our lives to glorify your holy name. We bless you and praise you. And we pray you would anoint your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to look at Psalm 139 as a message. I guess what sort of turned my heart in this direction was the blessings of that we received this week again with my wife in her battle with cancer. She was visiting the doctor on Monday again, and she has a clear report as far as there's no cancer in her body anywhere. And the doctor made a statement about that. He said his goal for her is a complete, ultimate cure. And My wife said something to him. She said, well, why is it that people say that there is no such thing as a cure for stage 4 cancer? And his answer was sort of amazed me. He's a Muslim. Actually, he's not a Christian. He's a Muslim. But his answer was, what most people don't understand is that you have God on your side. And you know, that's what makes the difference in life. The benefits of having God, of being on God's side, having God in our life, those benefits are unbelievable. They are unfathomable. To have God in our life, to have God on our side, as I was meditating on those things and thinking of the benefits and the blessings of being a part of God's program, to being on God's in God's program, I was moved to some of these verses here in Psalm 139, and I want to read the entire chapter here at this time. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from me, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in the secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sands. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly. Thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We see our God that knows all things. He's God that has searched us, God who knows us. He knows us from one end to the other. He's the one who created us. He's the one who planned our life. He's the one who orchestrates everything about our life. The The gift that we have from God, the gift of life, just the simple gift of life, the fact that we are here. I'm glad to be alive this morning. I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to be alive. Life is a blessing. Life is from God. The time that we have here, we all have a certain allotted amount of time, and we are here for a purpose. We are here by the design of God. We are not here by accident. We are not here by chance, but we are here by the divine design of God this morning. Each of us has a divine purpose, a divine plan for our life, and God has mapped out and charted our life long before we were ever knew anything about it. God is the one who is the master of it all. The all-knowing God. We have our life from the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God, the God that is everywhere present, the invincible God, the one that is unconquerable, the one who is above all and in control of all. He's uncomparable, uncomprehendable. The Almighty God. That's the God we serve today. He's the God. He's the only one. He's the one who is able to meet our needs and to give us that peace and give us that satisfaction, that security in our soul. It only comes from God. There is no other place. It comes from God alone. That God that knows our hearts, He knows our life, He knows our downsittings and our uprisings. He understands all of our thoughts. He knows what's going on in our heart. He knows our love. He knows our passions. He knows our goals. He knows our life. When we lay down and we get up, He's there. There's not a word that we say or a thought that we have that God doesn't know about. It says, Thou hast beset me behind and before. Thou hast laid Thy hand upon me. That's a beautiful thing to know that God cares enough. I see a picture of a God that is intently concerned about every individual. Everyone in this room, God cares about every individual. Everyone in this place, there's every detail of our life. He cares about every detail of each one of us. He is there. He is watching. He is caring. He is listening. He is observing our life. He lays his hand upon us, and he watches over us and meets our needs. Provides for us in many ways. This God is our God. He's in control of all things. Well, that doesn't... We know that... I just feel like verse 6, it says that such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. That's my testimony this morning. My heart toward God, it is too high. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. It is too wonderful for me. Too wonderful to comprehend a God like this. A God that is hovering over His people. I believe He is hovering over this church today. He is intently concerned and caring about every individual in this congregation this morning. That's the God we have. He lays His hand on us. He cares about us. He watches over us. He provides for us. He meets our needs in many ways. It is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. That is our God. That is our God this morning that I want to recommend to each one of us. We have the benefits and the blessings and the provisions from an Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who has been from everlasting to everlasting. He always was. He always will be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This God is our God. And He's here this morning, hovering over this place, ministering through every heart, caring about every situation, caring about every need. To lift up your spirit and to pour in healing where there is needed, to pour in encouragement and blessing and to whatever the need may be, that God is there with His heart of love and with His heart of compassion for you and for me, to pour out Himself into your life and my life, to fill up the void, to fill up those things that are lacking, those things that are in need. As we open our hearts to Him, as we turn our hearts to Him and receive the gifts that He wants to give us. God is calling us to Himself, and our response to Him is to open our hearts and receive, to receive the gifts that He's offering to us today. There's no way to get away from Him. You can ascend up to heaven. You can go down to hell. You can go out into the sea. You can go anywhere you want to go. Marcus was far, far away from here. I'm sure you found God over there, right, Marcus? I'm sure God is there's no place we can go to get away from Him. God is everywhere, and He's going to be there to touch our lives and meet our needs. In the darkness, cannot hide from Him. We cannot get away from Him. The night shineth as the day in God's kingdom, in God's work. God sees right through the darkness. He sees everything about us and knows everything about us. That's our God. We have the gift of light. Verse 11 and 12 says, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto me. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That's a part of one of the gifts of God that He's given. He gives light to us, that we can see where we're going. We can know where we stand. We can know what we can see our life as He sees us. He can shine His light into our hearts and reveal Himself to us. That's the light of the gospel of Jesus. It's one of those beautiful gifts that comes from God. Then in verse 13 through 16, we have an interesting few verses here. The gift of newborn life, the gift of life. It says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. As I studied this verse, I believe this is saying that, you know, we have quite a few little babies in the church this year. I think I counted about 9, if I know right. A lot of little babies here in this church. And I believe what this verse is saying is, if you study into it, it says, I have woven together those little bodies in the womb. All those little details of the human body were woven together in the womb, already in the very microscopic stage of conception. All the little arteries and the veins, the muscles, the nerves, the brains, the bones, all the organs, all those different parts were woven together perfectly. Perfectly in their perfect place. In each one of those little newborn babies. In the mother's womb. It's amazing. The gift of life. Life is from God. There's no other explanation for it. There's no human being could ever imagine something so complicated and detailed and so beautiful as a little newborn human being. They're perfectly woven together in their perfection of God. Everything's there in those little unborn babies. Everything is there, complete and detailed, just as well as it is in an adult today. In an adult, everything is completely woven together perfectly. Here he says, "And I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." He said, "Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." We are fearfully and wonderfully made. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Then he says in verse 15, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all thy members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." What I understand this verse to be saying is that not only were we physically woven together, but our life story was written in a book. The details of our life were mapped out by God. It says, "My substance, thou seest my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written." The details of our life are mapped out in God's book, even long before we were conceived. The days of our life, from the first day to the last, God knows the number of our days. God knows the details of our life. Life doesn't just happen. Life isn't an accident. Life is a gift from God. Life is a gift from God. And He knows the details of our life. And it says, "How precious also are the thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." How great is the sum of them. "If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." How precious. How precious. The thought of God's gift of life to man. And God's gift of time. God's gift of providing for us and preserving our life. You know, I have to think of my life. I don't know. See, what I... you know, some people live to be 95 or 100. Some people only live to be 15 or 20. All that is, we don't understand God. That's all part of that which is too high for us to understand. We cannot comprehend, we cannot figure out God. But some people, and it doesn't Death is not something that's because you've done something wrong. Godly people die all the time. Godly people die all the time at any age. Ungodly people die all the time. So it's not, we cannot understand God, why He plans that one person will live to be 95 and the other one only live to be 25. Just this week I heard of a couple teenagers that passed away. You know, it seemed like it wasn't right, but God had that mapped out. He knew it was going to be. We don't know why. We don't understand Him. One of those things that is too high for us. We just have to give it to God. Some people get cancer and die real quick. Others get cancer and get better. We don't understand that. God's in control of all that. God's the one who has it mapped out for our life. We give it to God. We bless Him. We bow our hearts to Him. We worship Him. He is right. He is in control. I don't know why God allowed me to live as long as I've lived. But by God's grace, I want to walk with Him all the days of my life. Now, it seemed like David here in the psalm kind of changed the tune real fast here in verse 19. And it sort of puzzled me for a little. He's talking about all these beautiful things from God. Then all of a sudden he says, "Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And I am not grieved with those that are up against, rise against thee. I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies." I was a little, it took me a little while to try to fit those verses into what the rest of the book was saying, chapter was saying. But I believe what I concluded is there are two camps. You're either in God's camp or you are not. And every one of us here today, it's that way. You know, we have no right to the promises of God if we have not chosen to be a part of His program. God has offered to every one of us the gift of eternal life. God has given to us the gift of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is the gift of God. Eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the gift that God has given to you and to me. God has given this gift to every one of us, the gift of eternal life. But we have to receive it. Now, if you give someone a gift and they just won't take it, they won't accept it, it's not, we don't usually feel very good about it. Well, God gave us a gift that was extremely expensive. It was the blood of His only begotten Son. It was the life of His only Son. He gave it for you and for me. He gives it to us as a gift, a present. He presents it to us. Eternal life, it's for you to receive. If we turn around and walk away and say, "I don't want it," then we have no right to these precious promises that we talked about here this morning. We have no right to the heritage of God's kingdom if we're going to turn around and reject the offered gift of God, gift of eternal life that God has offered to us. So this morning, that's the only thing I concluded here in this chapter, that David come to the conclusion that there needs to be something said about the fact that these precious promises apply to those that are on God's side, those that are in God's kingdom, those that are a part of God's program. Those that are not a part of God's program, they're the enemies of God and they will be destroyed. They have chosen the way of condemnation and damnation and hell by rejecting to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. The gift, He's offering it to each one of us today. He's offering it, the gift of eternal life, the gift and all those benefits that go with that. The benefits of the kingdom of God, the promises of God, the beautiful things that we've talked about here this morning. These all belong to those that are part of the kingdom of God. But when we reject that, we have chosen judgment. We have chosen damnation. We've chosen condemnation. We've chosen death. So this morning, I see it's a choice that is presented to us all here today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Just Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God still hates sin. And all those that reject the gift of God will receive the judgment and damnation of God as a result. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No matter how loving our God is and how great His provision is to us, if we turn around and walk away, we have no right to it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this morning, my challenge to each one of us, to receive the gift. Receive the present that God has given to you. Receive that gift that God is presenting to you. Receive eternal life, forgiveness of sins. The present, His presence will grace you. His presence will fill you and fill you with joy and peace and content and satisfy your soul and give you the security to face life and to face the future. Any one of us this morning who has not received that gift, I challenge you this morning to receive, to turn to God. Allow God to be your life, to be your purpose, to be your goal. I have a short poem here that I jotted down here yesterday. There are two ways in this our life, one high and holy, just and right, the other is dark, dark world of sin, live for self and pleasure to win. With life before us, the choice is ours. Christ Jesus is life, both here and above. But the way of the world with its pride and lust will torment your soul when you return to the dust. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Today's your day to receive the gift you don't deserve. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning I'm just overwhelmed at the goodness of God, and I just cannot comprehend why someone would not want to receive His life and His blessings, and His prosperity, His provisions in so many ways. God is good to His people. And I'm thankful this morning to be a part of that family of God. I'm thankful to be a part of His kingdom, to be a part of His working. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And I trust this morning that each one of us can turn our hearts to God and experience reality, peace, contentment, and satisfaction of our soul. I'm going to ask, in closing, for all of us to stand together and pray. And I want to ask you to pray with me the last two verses of this chapter. I'm going to read it and then I'll ask you to pray. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's a prayer of David. And let's say that together and then I'll conclude with prayer. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your wonderful gifts to man. We thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for the gift of life. We thank You for the gift of newborn life. We thank You for all the little ones that were born into our congregation this past year. We pray Your blessing upon each one of them, Father, that those little lives would be influenced for You, that they would grow up to learn to love and serve You, O God. We thank You for everyone in this congregation this morning. And we pray that Your love would minister to each heart, would touch each life, and would change each heart, life, that we could be more like You every day, that we would be conformed into the image of God, as was Your desire and design for us here today. Lord, we just pray, fulfill Your purpose. Draw our hearts close to You. Glorify Your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.